Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible in part by the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota. From paper clips to ships, Minnesota's iron mines help produce the things we use every day. More at taconite.org. We're broadcasting live from Armory Square, Park Rapids, Minnesota. We like to bring in storytellers from the places we visit. Tonight, we're very excited to welcome to our stage a local writer and storyteller that some of you may know. Here's Jerry Mavison. And Jerry's from a town that always gets people to giggle a little bit. You're from Nimrod.
I'm a Nimrod guy, right? It took me several years before I was able to just say that, like I just said it, Aaron. It's not easy to say. But Nimrod has a Velcro quality about it. Once you've heard it, you'll never forget it. My story tonight is chocolate-covered cherries. Around this time of year, we resurrect memories of childhood, sugarcoat them, and pass them on as family lore. Such a memory is mine, my 9-year-old birthday in 1941. Life was meager in rural Minnesota. We fed and milked cows morning and night, walked 1 mile to school, toted water, hand pump from the well by the barn, and lugged wood for the kitchen stove. 6 kids slept upstairs in an undivided, uninsulated bedroom. We were on relief, and the Chevy was on blocks for the winter. It was, as they say, the good old days. Those were the days before television, before computers, before microwave ovens and tubeless tires. We had recently witnessed the arrival of electricity on the farm. But life was good. I had 3 older sisters and 3 younger brothers. The youngest, Frank, still slept between mother and dad in the downstairs bedroom. On my birthday, the mailman delivered a brown paper package addressed to me from Aunt Minnie. When supper was finished and the dishes washed, oldest sister Dolores carried the candled birthday cake into the living room where the family gathered to listen to Lux Radio Theater. Cherry red patches glowed on the wood stove. Mittens lay underneath, drying stiff as boards. Diapers hung from clotheslines nailed to the walls, their moisture coating the windows with hoarfrost. It was time to open gifts. Not thinking, I opened Aunt Minnie's package surrounded by my family. They waited like timber wolves encircling a stranded fawn, yellow eyes leering, white fangs gleaming, pink tongues salivating. A box of chocolate-covered cherries. I tore through the cellophane and stared at a picture of dark chocolate balls with creamy vanilla filling around a succulent red cherry. I wanted this moment to last forever. Aren't you going to pass them around? Mother asked. I opened the box and counted the cherries. 8. I counted my family circle. 8. Should I be generous and show some early Christmas spirit? Or should I be assertive and acknowledge that this gift was mine on my special day? I looked around the room, spotted a weak spot between Jim and baby Frank, and did an end run up the stairs. I made the mistake, maybe 30 years later, of relating the story to my sons. They found it hilarious, if not incredible. No television, you've got to be kidding. But they picked up on the chocolate-covered cherries. For Christmas that year, I got another box of, guess what, chocolate-covered cherries. By 39, however, I had lost my taste for Brock's chocolate, sweet vanilla filling, and maraschino cherries, which they well knew. But it was a clever gift. So clever, in fact, that I saved the box unopened and gave it back to them the next Christmas. We rotated the cherries year after year, spending hours and big bucks on clever packaging disguises. I expect to get a box again this year, probably hidden in the glove compartment of my real Christmas gift, a Lexus LS 430.
Jerry Mavison. He'll be back out later.